Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Matt Bubala in for Justin Kaufman here on the download on 720 WGN. If you fill in on any day part on WGN, it's a law that at some point Steve Dale is on the show. This is your fourth appearance in the last 4 hours. No, wait, you were
on with Brian earlier today.
Was it yesterday you adopted out a pet on with Pete McMurray? Or was it 2 days ago?
It was 2 days ago, and that was amazing. So, first of all, I am so grateful to have anyone have me on. No matter who they are, first off. Secondly, Pete McMurray, who sincerely loves dogs, filling in for Steve Cochran.
Right.
And I'm nervous. Because
you are?
Yeah, I was.
Why?
Because I was 11 for 11. We do it once
right.
a month.
You have
with,
a streak. You've adopted out 11 straight animals.
Mm-hmm. And the year would have been 12 in a row, right?
Yeah.
And it's
this
Pete McMurray. You
pet.
Never know with Pete McMurray.
So you're
right?
worried Pete was going to screw it up, is what you're saying. It's Steve Cochran. You're on with Steve Cochran. You know that dog's heading out somewhere.
You know what the real secret?
But with Pete coming in, you're thinking Pete might screw this up. He might make a joke. He might do something
no.
weird.
No. You know what the real secret is?
I don't.
Dave Ennett.
Dave Ennett is the good luck charm?
He is.
Well, Dave wasn't here probably because wasn't he already at the Pinstripe Bowl?
I
or was
know.
He in studio?
He was not
oh,
here.
So
I he was
worried.
At the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
So I am terrified because here is a little known fact. Dave Ennett rolls around with the dog on the floor.
I thought we've seen pictures of that on Facebook,
you have.
Haven't we?
You have. In the studio, the dog gets adopted. If Ennett, I pray when I come in, Ennett is not sick. Because he's got to be here for the dog to yeah. be adopted. I mean, we all know that. So I come in, the dog, a Labrador mix. I mean, you think this dog should have been adopted anyway, right? So Labrador mix, sweet, 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 active dog named Turkey.
Wild Turkey, right?
Or
yeah. is it just Turkey?
No, you're right. Wild Turkey. So
does that tell us something about the previous owner of this pet?
Don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody okay. knows. So. The interview that follows me, I'm really not paying attention to because I'm talking to the people from the shelter
right.
and we're having this great discussion. I'm doing some after video with the people from the shelter. The next interview happened to hear the interview on before, which was me. That next interview was Doc Emmerich.
The famed hockey broadcaster, Doc Emmerich?
The incredibly famed, one of the greatest ever in the history of the National Hockey League. And as you know, I'm a hockey fan. You are still a hockey player. So
hardly.
Well.
Now, does Doc stock on to one of the greatest ever, partly because he listens to the Steve Dale show here at 720 WGN?
No, he really is.
Okay.
He should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I imagine he is, actually. I mean, he then contacts me.
Mm-hmm.
He does his interview with McMurray, and then I get a text from Doc Emmerich. He said, call this number. So I thought, okay, some prankster.
Sure.
So I call, and I instantly recognize his voice. So I'm thinking someone's doing a very good impression.
Yeah.
But quickly, I realized, and he loves dogs. Not only, guess what he did? Not only did he pay forward the adoption of Wild Turkey, who mm-hmm. was, by the way, instantly adopted.
Excellent.
But the next five dogs from South Suburban Humane Society will be under his, he's paying for it.
So he's paying for five
He paid
adoptions.
Already. He
really?
Paid
People just
already.
Have to come in and find their...
Yeah. So what South Suburban did, which was my idea, I said, you've got to name five dogs after Chicago Blackhawks
uh-huh.
and hope they get adopted because that would be perfect, right?
Yeah.
You know. So they did. So up for adoption now, and I believe still up for adoption, are Taze and...
Darling
Hosa.
Was one of them.
Saw. Yeah, Darling.
Which is perfect.
Brent Seabrook.
Okay.
What do you mean that's perfect? Scott Darling's been great this year.
Because you might name a dog Darling. Like, it fits in
oh,
so well.
My
that,
darling.
You know, if there's
yeah,
somebody
sure.
in the house that isn't even a hockey fan, oh, we're going to adopt this dog Darling. Oh, that sounds so cute. You know, that works.
Sounds cuter than Seabrook. I will admit that.
Kind of, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, so, Seabrook.
Yeah, exactly. So those dogs, I am sure, will be adopted out with names like that in
yeah.
Chicago. I think Keith was the fifth. Anyway, perfect, perfect story. I'm sure that's happened to you. You know, I mean, here is someone that turns out, and he's going on about my show. He's a fan of mine.
That has never happened to me. Steve,
really? No, I don't believe that. And I'm a fan of his.
Yeah.
It's just, it was one of those great moments.
That's really cool.
I so appreciate that. The other thing is, one thing to be an animal lover, mm-hmm. and to call, hey, Steve, you do a great job on the air, I would have been blown away. But for him to say, I'm going to pay for the next 5 adoptions, not asking how much it cost. I'm going to pay for those. That's incredible. 6 total then, right?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's cool. Doc Emmerich, he's a good guy. He's on with them all the time, right? Every week does he come on and talk to the NHL?
I
know
I
he's
so.
On with Cochran all the
he's
time.
He's a huge WGN fan
yeah,
anyway.
He's a good guy.
He takes WGN wherever he goes, apparently. We are in his pocket.
Okay. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
You don't have a story for Brian Noonan's show today, right?
Pardon me?
I didn't know if we're going to go through the shows you've been on this week and the story from each show. So that was your Cochran story. Do you have
I
a Brian
tell
Noonan
Brian Noonan's
sure
stories.
All right, let's do this instead. Let's,
he's a great guy.
Let's talk about
he
he's at Tony and Tina's wedding, for goodness
yes,
sake.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk about all of the people out there that may have adopted or got or received or even become the new proud parents of a dog or a cat over the holidays. Now,
over the what?
Over the holidays.
Thank you.
Now, Steve, I've known you for a long time. You and I have been working together for about 10 years. And when we first started working together, you wouldn't wholeheartedly recommend a lot of times at this time of year people adopt or receive a pet.
True.
And now that's sort of changed. Why has that?
You know, I like science. And if science proves me wrong, I'm happy to be proven wrong. So what we now know through various studies, more than one study, is that adopting a pet at this time of year, or even the time of year leading up to Christmas, the old thinking was, don't do that. Shelters even closed. They closed their doors thinking that these are going to be impulse purchases. Well, they're family purchases, it turns out. They are family decisions. And in fact, those pets last in a home longer than a pet, say, adopted in June or July. Mm. It's about the same, but actually a little longer. They do better. So the shelters were wrong all that time. I was wrong all
the
that time.
The concern was it was just impetuous if you were doing it at the holidays. You had the wrong reasons.
Right.
You didn't truly weren't ready for a pet. You just thought,
and
this was what would happen at my house. It'd be like the day before we go, how about we just get a dog? And then this is solved. You know,
right.
Last minute thinking. That's still a problem if you're doing it that way. But the thought.
But the shelters know better. You know,
so
the shelters.
Shelters sometimes say, this isn't right for you guys?
Yes. You know, shelters ask questions. Mm-hmm. The good ones ask questions. Some ask too many, but that's a whole other story. But greatly, they ask fair number of questions, and rescues do too. And they can kind of weed through all that. And as I say, adopting at this time of year is not altogether. In fact, it's not at all a bad thing. Now, if you happen to have gotten a puppy or kitten, first off, congratulations. This is the most exciting time in your life, in my opinion.
Sure.
Of which I do respect.
Okay. You are the first guest I've ever heard say how much you respect your own opinion.
Thank you. But this is a great opportunity as well, because now you've got this little bundle of fur that you can mold. Now, there's nothing wrong, nothing wrong with adopting, and I hope you have, a 5 or a 6 or a 10-year-old dog or cat.
It's even greater sometimes,
yeah, you've
right?
saved a life, yeah. perhaps. But by adopting a kitten or puppy, you have the potential to overcome the biggest hurdle pet owners have, especially with cats, but dogs too, and that is getting the pet to the veterinarian.
Mm.
So now, at a very young age, with kittens or puppies, you can make that visit fun. If you've just gotten a puppy or a kitten, please follow this advice. You will appreciate it. You'll call me 10 years from now and say, Steve, best advice I ever got. Because the pet will be acclimated to the veterinary office. Mm-hmm. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the office. Don't want you to have a veterinary visit. You can make an appointment when you visit. But what I want you to do is really just visit. Have the staff tell you, and they will mean it, you have the cutest puppy or kitten on the planet. They will pet your puppy and kitten. They will give treats to the puppy and kitten. Now the puppy or the kitten is thinking, well, the car ride isn't so bad. It takes me somewhere good.
Right.
And secondly, this place that smells crazy, and I'm smelling fear in the air, because they actually do. And it's got all these medical smells is what
sure.
we would call them. But the pets don't know what to call them, except this is nothing I've smelled before. It doesn't become a bad thing. Even better, ask if you can go into an exam room with a technician and say, you know what? I want my pet to go on that cold exam table. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be using those cold exam tables in quite the same way anymore anyway,
but
a lot of clinics still do. What we should be doing, I think, is either examining the pets where they are, which could be on the floor, mm-hmm. at least to start with, or at least putting something, and by the way, a yoga mat, great for the floor, or putting something, a towel from home that smells like the pet on the exam table. But this is a great opportunity to just give that cat, the kitten, or the puppy some treats, have them go on the exam table, have the technician handle their ears while they give them treats. So here's a stranger saying, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. But it's a fun thing now.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our number. If you got a new puppy or new kitten or an older dog or cat into your life over the holidays or any time recently and you have any questions for Steve, we'll give you a chance to chat with him. Steve is a certified animal behavior consultant. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Okay. So let me ask you about this. So you say you got to go to the veterinarian just for a fun visit. Do we call the veterinarian first and say, hey, we're going to come in so that they know that that's happening, so that they're ready? Are most veterinarians really good about that type of thing?
Well,
I mean, sometimes these are very busy offices. I know if you and I stopped by the eye doctor today and said, hey, I just want you to see my eyes. And, you know, they'd be like, dude, we got 18 visits. We don't have time for that. Veterinarians are different and better about that, I hope.
Yes, they are, and the eye doctor would be wrong if little kids are visiting.
Right.
They should spend the time, and it doesn't take much time, just to say, here's a sucker, you know, and the dentist is probably a better example. And the dentist have got it down, pretty much. You know, people that are a few years older than I tell me stories about when going to the dentist was horrifying.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but apparently that used to be the case. You knew you were going to be in pain when you went to the dentist office, and dentists have changed all that. Veterinarians need to change all that for pets. In fact, there's a national initiative called Fear Free that is all about the kind of thing that I'm talking about, these sort of fun visits for kittens or puppies. Now, listen, if you have a 12-year-old dog, you know what? You can still do it. So if you've got a dog that you're driving around, the dog loves car rides, happy as can be in the car, but the destination's the problem. And the dog looks around and realizes, uh-oh, I'm in a parking lot. I just saw a YouTube video. YouTube videos are great, of course. And that's exactly where the owner of the dog ended up, a veterinarian's parking lot. So he parks his car there, opens the door, and the dog's on the other side of the car. Can't get the dog. Goes around to the other side of the car, and now the dog's on the other side of the car. And he's running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, can't get the dog. Well, it was kind of funny, but kind of not, really.
Yeah, this, it doesn't have to be that way.
It does not, and it should not be that way. It's easy enough to fix, even with adult dogs and, dare I say, adult cats.
All right, let's go back one step. So we say we just got a new animal in our house, and we haven't had one before.
Hooray, hooray.
Okay? Yeah. So if you haven't had one before, you might not already have a veterinarian. How do you go about deciding who the veterinarian is that I should take my pet to?
Well, geography is a part of that answer. So
sure.
If you live in Evanston, you probably aren't going to choose a veterinarian in Bolingbrook.
Right.
You know, so it's got to be close enough to you, first of all. Ask people you know who have pets. Who's, and say, you know, I love my veterinarian. And walking dogs or at the dog park, you can ask people. But it's better, I think, to ask people you really know. And they can tell you very specifically why they love their veterinarian. And I will say, most people I know love their veterinarian far more than they love their own doctor.
Yeah, I would imagine that's true. Is there any certifications we look for, anything that sets veterinarians apart from each other, or is it just word of mouth?
Well, if you want the best of the best, look for a clinic that is fear-free certified, or a veterinarian, rather, mm-hmm. that's fear-free certified. But you know what? That's a new initiative, so there are, I think, one in
okay.
Chicago.
Okay.
So you don't have that much to choose from yet. If you have a cat, look for a cat-friendly practice. If you want excellence, but overall, there is only one certification. You asked about certification. That's the American Animal Hospital Association.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would not go to a clinic that is not an American Animal Hospital Association certified clinic. There are all these standards that and hoops that the veterinarians and the entire staff have to jump through to be certified. And the equipment itself has to be up to date, and people trained on that equipment. And there's a lot that really goes into that.
It's interesting. I hadn't thought of it before, but you know, for us, for humans, even with our kids or for ourselves, maybe we don't read up a lot on the doctors. We can. There's a lot available to us, I guess. But you get a better sense because you're dealing with them more, whereas your pet can't walk out of the exam room and go, you know, that wasn't that great. I really didn't like them very much. They give you signs that you would read, but maybe I wouldn't. But so a certification like that, I guess, it really is important because how else are you really going to know what you're getting out of them, right?
Well, and you don't know what's in the back room. Yeah. You know, and you don't know enough about the kind of drugs that are given or the kind of equipment that's kept up to date. Drugs that are given is not a good example. But what I did mean to say in is anesthesia that's used during surgery, who monitors that anesthesia, all of that is really, really important stuff. But there is no way as a consumer that you can really know that. And, you know, I want to be clear. This is not to say a practice that is not American Animal Hospital Association certified.
Could still be great.
Absolutely
true. You just don't know that they have gone through those processes.
Right.
Okay, more with Steve Dale next, our pet expert here at WGN Radio. You hear him 6:30 a.m. Sunday mornings, and you read him at stevedalepetworld.com, and you follow him on Facebook and Twitter and all those things. More with Steve, and Darren has got a question about pups getting introduced to cats.
Ooh.
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Chicago's Best, Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick, maybe Chicago's Best. 312-981-7200. Darren has a question for Steve Dale. Hey, Darren, you're on the air. Go ahead. Fire away.
Hi, guys. Just a quick question. I've got two adult cats, about 8 years old. We recently got a puppy about 4 days ago.
Yay.
The puppy's 6 months old. Yeah, we're really happy. But we're having a little bit of trouble introducing them to each other. The puppy gets very excited and likes to bark and kind of chase, and the cats aren't really up for that. I'm wondering if you have any tips, Steve, that might help ease that introduction of the two. It's been a bit of a struggle, so I'm hoping noted pet expert Steve can help me out.
You bet. Patience is the key word. And also control. I mean, cats are control freaks. So if they know they are in control, they will be far more content. So make sure they know they can go up high to get away. And there are high places to go in every room, hiding spots also in every room that the dog cannot get into. Even better, if there's a dog-free zone for the cats. Dogs should be on a leash whenever the cats are around. So for now, not forever. So same thing. So again, it gives the cats a message. Okay, things are under control. And also teach the dog, and you use treats to do it. It's a little puppy. No punishment. Please, please, please. Just redirect the dog with treats. So the dog goes that way toward the little kittens or the cats. And you use something better like liver. And the puppy will come running to you. Also, the make it so that the puppy associates the cats with good things, which is an easy enough thing to do. Whenever the cats are around, puppy gets something good. But again, redirect, redirect, redirect. In time, though, being control freaks like they are, those cats will probably initiate a game of chase, but that's probably 6 or 8 months down the road.
All right. Thank you so much, Darren. 312-981-7200. More questions for Steve Dale after the news. More tips for your new puppy or kitten or older dog or cat that you have at home. Steve will also share some tips as we go to celebrate the new year. A lot of loud noises, a lot of things going on in our house that might be a little scary for our pets. So Steve will give us some
Happy
tips.
Happy New Year!
On that as well. This is next on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala in for Justin Kaufman here on the download on 720 WGN 936 in the evening. Steve Dale, noted pet expert, as Mr. Left likes to say, is in studio with us, hanging out until 10 o'clock. If you have a question for Steve, 312-981-7200 is the number. Steve, here's a text question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice on turtles? I've heard they are high maintenance, and I'm not sure it would be good for the kids.
Yeah, turtles are high maintenance. So the most common turtle, there are lots of, you know, it's a broad term. I mean, there are lots of species of turtles, and I assume he's talking, or she, turtles and not tortoises. I mean, there's a big difference there. But okay. If we're talking turtles, we're probably talking sliders, as they're commonly called, and they are not easy to keep. You have to clean the bowl all the time.
They're in a bowl?
Well, yeah.
Not more like an aquarium, like a rectangle?
You have to clean the aquarium all the time.
I'm sorry. That was a legitimate question.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't keep them in like an old goldfish bowl type thing, right? It's got to be a bigger
Well, you could
area.
If it's large enough. I mean, they're not but large turtles. They're quite small.
How small a slider is like fits in the palm of our hand?
The slider you'd eat? It's about that size. Well, no, I didn't. I'm just giving you some idea.
The slider turtle you're talking about, how small?
The circumference, so.
Like fits in the palm of my hand or no?
Yes.
Bigger than that. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have big hands?
God, Steve.
So they are very, very difficult to keep. Only in that you need to keep it clean. And keeping it clean is, you know, and they're not house-trained turtles.
They're huge.
They just kind of go where they go, and often that's in the water. And that water should be kept clean. Okay. So that's the issue.
Six quarterbacks are participating in the Under Armour All-American game practices.
Hold on, Steve. Hold
I'll keep going. It doesn't matter. Commitment. Other than that, they're not especially difficult to keep. You don't have to take them out for a walk.
That's only twice tonight that that's happened. Only twice. We're doing fine.
I didn't even comment. So you don't have to take them out for a walk or do anything like that. So in that sense, they're easy. As a first pet, kids aren't going to clean it. Mom and dad are going to have to. So I just kind of don't recommend them. And at one time, they were banned because of the dirty water, they can transmit salmonella.
As I've heard you talk about many times, kids like to hold things, like to touch things, like to hug things and squeeze things.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an issue, I imagine, for turtles, right?
Yeah. They could not be hugged. But even
Taking them up, taking them out, all that stuff.
It can be moderately traumatic for the turtle, but I'm more concerned about the kids not washing their hands.
And that could be dangerous.
Yes. Yeah, salmonella.
Okay. So. All right. So there's your turtle answer, sir. 312-981-7200. If you have other questions about new puppies or kittens or
first
older
time
pets.
Reptiles, lots of better choices. Bearded dragon lizard.
What about the blue tongue skink?
That's what I have, one of those, you know. So blue tongues are good because you don't necessarily need crickets. And for moms who don't want crickets in the house, they're a good answer. They can be somewhat affectionate. Mm-hmm. They live a while, you know, so this is a commitment. They live 15 to 20 years or so, maybe even longer than that. Fairly easy to keep. You don't need special lighting. The temperature is, you know, wide ranging within restrictions. They're and they get to know you, as lizards go. They and also bearded dragons, very affectionate.
You spoke a little bit earlier about the Fear Free initiative.
Yeah,
and our good friends, your veterinarian up at Blum Animal Hospital here in Chicago.
She's certified as a Fear Free veterinarian.
Dr. Natalie Marks and Dr. Julia Georgeson. They're redoing their whole. They're kind of rebuilding their clinic, and
they're
making it fear free, really fear free. That's they're building it into the actual structure of the building. What is fear free?
So fear free is lowering fear, stress, and anxiety, beginning at home, sort of as we talked about. So when the carrier comes out, you don't want the cat hiding under the sofa. You don't want to chase around the cat, and then the cat is so stressed by the time the cat gets in the car. Then even more stressed by the car ride and the cat's all the way going to the veterinarian, all the way there. By the time the cat gets there, it's like a losing battle for the veterinarian. Nothing they can do to lower the fear, anxiety, and stress. So it actually begins at home. We talked about some of the things that people can do.
Sure.
I'll be talking a lot about this in 2017. But veterinary clinics have to play a role in it too. And that includes setup. And that's what Blum Animal Hospital on Clark Street at about Belmont is doing. They're changing their architecture internally so you don't have cats sitting in the waiting room next to one another staring at one another or dogs sniffing into the cat carrier unless they're your dogs. So they're changing the whole waiting room, the way the waiting room is designed. But it's more than that. It's once you get into the exam room. It's the handling of the animals. Veterinarians are being taught, okay, we don't necessarily need to scruff the cats. We don't need to yank the dog's legs out that way for a blood draw. We can actually ask the dog to do it. You know, I've been to zoos and I've seen elephants myself. I've seen this just being asked. Now, whether elephants ought to be in zoos or not, it's a whole other story. But just asked to lift their leg. An elephant.
And they'll do it?
An elephant is larger than the studio we're in. And they'll say, okay. And they'll do it. So if zoos can do this with leopards and elephants and polar bears and all these other animals, and zoos have been doing this for years, the good ones, all over the world, then why can't we do that with dogs and cats?
So wait, we could as the pet owner, but I can't expect the veterinarian to teach my dog that when they come in for the visit, like I tell my kids, you have to go give a sample in the bathroom. We can't get Fido to walk over and just lift a leg and put it in a cup, can we?
No, okay. That we cannot do. I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting when a blood draw is necessary that the animal be trained or habituated, if not trained, at least habituated to accept it, mm-hmm. so it's not a struggle. And there are a whole number of reasons for that. First of all, safety of the veterinary staff. Secondly, if you're stressed out watching this, your pet's going to pick up on your stress and even become more stressed, and then the veterinary team is going to become even more stressed. The blood draw itself isn't quite accurate because the anxiety level is so high that you're kind of making a best guess looking at the blood because it's not quite the way it should be because the pet is anything but relaxed. So there are lots, and it's just the right thing to do.
And just because, I mean, I would think that one of the biggest things with all of this, Steve, is that it's such a struggle. You've talked about that, you know, if you have a new puppy that you start getting them to the veterinarian right away, make this a good experience. One of the big issues with pets I know is that they're not seeing the veterinarian enough. And if you're like you talked about the YouTube video where the guy's trying to get the dog out of the car in the veterinarian's parking lot, if your dog does not want to be there and or your cat especially, and it makes the so strenuous and so stressful for you to even have to get them out of the house to go there, then at some point you might say, you know, we'll just skip it this year. He seems fine. And that can lead to problems.
Absolutely true. And that's happening and has been happening. You know, so we know why veterinary visits are on the decline. And there are like five or six reasons for it. They're bullet points that, that cost is one for a lot of people at times. I mean, we know exactly why that's the case. But one of those bullet points you just pointed out, I mean, if you're going to be anxious about going to anywhere, fill in the blank, you're not going to go. And I understand that. So let's take away that anxiety. But it's as I described, much more than that. And at the end of the day, veterinarians have become veterinarians to help. And no veterinarian. I have never met a veterinarian who said, oh, it's a good idea, we're doing this. That's just the way they were taught, and there's been no other way. Yeah. Well, now we've thought about it. All these experts have thought about it and thought, you know what? There really is a better way.
And part of it's the veterinarian and how they're going to treat your animal once you get there. But part of it is what you can do at home as well, right?
And talked about
if you have a new pet or a young puppy kitten, get them, you know, ready to go right away and knowing that this is exciting. So we really advocate, right, adopting older pets because those are the pets most in need, most at risk. So can you teach that old dog new tricks in that this 10-11-year-old dog who maybe is deathly afraid of a lot of things in life that's in a shelter is really scared of going to a veterinarian. Can you teach them that this can be a good experience?
Absolutely. Now, will it work with every dog every time or every cat every time? No. You know, and sometimes you need some help doing it. But there are tools available that provide that help today. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, this isn't 20 years ago, it's today.
Right.
So now we have tools that we just didn't have back then. So if, for example, the dog is fearful of car rides, which lead not only to the veterinarian, but to grandma's house. There are things you can do to change that. You know, we have medication if the dog is getting car sick. It's called Serenia, that they're not going to get car sick anymore. It really works, you know. Dramamine can work too. That kind of knocks them out, and that, in a sense, defeats the purpose. So preferably, from my perspective, behaviorally, I prefer Serenia.
Well, and if they're sort of knocked out when they go to the vet, that's not good either, because then the veterinarian's not getting a true read on them.
Of course,
either, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm talking about just going anywhere, you know. There's a product called Adaptil. That's a copy of a pheromone that helps lower anxiety and stress. I mean, these products weren't available just a couple of years ago, and they are now. And there's no harm. I mean, there's no downside if they're dosed right and all that. Adaptil, there can be no downside. It's just a copy of a pheromone. There are lots of other products available, too. Including some pharmaceuticals to kind of get them over that hump, anti-anxiety medications that, again, weren't being used with pets appropriately. No one knew how, you know, 10 years ago. Today we do. So there's a lot that can be done. But we also know about behavior modification in a way we didn't quite get maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And that's the big one. And it's like going to Carnegie Hall. I mean, it'll take some practice on your part to achieve what you want to achieve. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you have a pet owner that's committed and willing to practice, it really can work.
Okay. You're getting into stress now, so I want to talk about New Year's Eve and things like that when we come back.
Happy New Year!
Also, we have a texter asking about fear issues with a dog who barks at everything. We'll talk about that next. 312-981-7200. Our pet expert, Steve Dale. You hear him every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter and read his blog at stevedalepetworld.com. Matt Bubala in for Justin Kaufman, 720 WGN. Matt Bubala in for Justin Kaufman here on 720 WGN. Noted
the
pet
guest
expert.
Who?
Noted pet expert Steve Dale turns on his own mic and just starts talking while the host is trying to reset the story. Steve is heard Sunday mornings here on WGN at 6:30 a.m. What's coming up on the show this weekend, by the way?
My resolutions for 2017.
They're going to relate to pets, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know.
Because maybe you were just going to, you know, have some that... Anywho.
In fact, your producer, Sean, is going to be my producer Sunday morning.
Oh, he is. Congratulations,
So he's
Sean.
Preparing as we speak.
He is.
Yes,
he
he's trying to get out of the country is what he's doing.
He's back doing shots right now. 708 text Steve, what can be done for a 12-year-old male cat that pees in the house? He lives with two large dogs, a Great Dane and a Golden Retriever.
Well, it could be the dogs. I need more information. So it could be the dogs have something to do with it. It could be the dogs have nothing to do with this story. Has the dog, the cat rather, always peed in the house? How many litter boxes are there? Where are the litter boxes? Is there a medical condition contributing or at least maybe even causing the problem? I don't know. So I need more information.
Especially with a 12-year-old cat, any cat, but a 12-year-old cat, you'd want a
medical
checkup first.
That's exactly where I begin.
Speak to your veterinarian.
Yeah, but I need much more to the story to be able to even take a stab at answering that one.
Steve, what can you do when you have a dog with fear issues on leashes and barks at everything, and you have to make sure there are no other animals in the waiting room?
Veterinary clinics, I imagine. Well, that's what the Fear Free Initiative is all about. So this is a two-prong answer. The short-term solution is go in the side entrance.
And call ahead, right?
Yeah,
talk to your veterinarian and say, hey,
exactly.
Here's the story. They know the dog. They want to help out.
They do. So if you can, be the first appointment of the morning, you know. Mm-hmm. As I said, a side entrance or something like that. So the dog doesn't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Longer-term answer is to get some professional help.
And so the other animals in the waiting room don't have to deal with that, right?
Because
if a dog comes in upset and freaking out, that's going to scare the other animals in the room.
Yep.
If he's barking or yanking on the leash or stressing out an owner who's yelling at the dog and everything goes haywire.
Fear, anxiety, and stress is as contagious as any virus there is.
Hmm. Interesting. Let's talk a little bit about New Year's Eve, because there's a lot of loud noises. There might be
Happy
people
New
coming
Year!
Over. There's all sorts of things going on in
yes.
the house, and that might stress your pet out. So how do we handle that if we're having some festivities?
So if you're having a lot of people over and you have the type of pets that are social animals that love, 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 love all the people over, great. You know, you don't have to do anything unless some of those people are little tiny people, little kids, mm-hmm. because then you want to make sure there's adult supervision. And I don't care if we're talking dog, cat, gerbil, hamster, pet rat. It doesn't matter. If kids are around, I think adults need to be there supervising, or the pet needs to be in a closed room and you know that little kids aren't there. Now, if you have a type of pet, and I understand, and you're having a lot of people over, and it's oftentimes a cat, but very often a dog, too, that's just so stressed out. You know, it's just barking, barking, barking at all those people because you know the pet, the dog, is anxious. Or a cat that's hiding in a corner, hiding under the bed. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. Let's not put the pet in that situation. Instead, let's make the pet comfortable. So take a room. All those visitors are not going in, whether it be the basement, your sloppy second bedroom, your own bedroom, a den. Close the door with the pet inside. Turn up some classical music. Give the pet something else to do, whether it be toys, something to chew on in the case of a dog, perhaps. Stuffing treats inside a toy can work for cats as well as dogs. And let's lower the anxiety level so then the animal can concentrate on doing those things. And you could use a product for cats. It's called Feel Away. It's a copy of a pheromone that naturally helps animals feel comfortable in their own environment. I mentioned Adaptil earlier. That's sort of the dog version of this pheromone. Same thing. Helps to just take off the edge in a very natural way. Safe to use. No problems. You plug it in. It's a diffuser. If you have dogs and cats, the dog won't affect the cats and vice versa. So you
they won't
want
start
each.
Acting. The dog might not act like a cat or that didn't.
You know, I
happens.
Hate when that happens. That
yeah.
would be bad. So this is one way that I endorse rather than have pets facing their fear, mm-hmm. facing all these people. Instead, it's better just, you know, let them cool their jets for the night.
Yeah. So maybe also just a separate room and,
yeah.
And music. Do you,
yeah.
I know for 4th of July, you've talked a lot about, you know, get the pets as far away from the fireworks as you can in the house, put on some classical music, things like that to soothe them. I imagine it's sort of the same thing when there's a lot of people or a lot of noise in the house.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, there's mixed research about whether it really works to soothe the animals or not. There have been studies that have shown that it does, though. But even,
at the very least, they're not hearing the fireworks,
exactly,
which is scaring them,
exactly.
Right?
And are there fireworks on New Year's Eve?
Well, I think sometimes. Other times, it's just a lot of kids banging pots and pans, which could be,
yeah,
just as bad, right?
It can be. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the number. Steve Dale. You can follow Steve on Twitter, on Facebook. His blog is Steve Dale
Pet Down the World. Street. They
just
can
follow you
me.
Down the street.
Yeah,
yeah. SteveDalePetWorld.com is the blog where Steve updates things all the time and keeps you informed. And this Sunday morning, he'll be on at 6:30 a.m. You talked a lot about the Fear Free Initiative. Should people look for more information on that or just ask their veterinarian if
ask
they're
their
certified?
Veterinarian. And we were talking about anxiety and stress over the holidays. There is a website for that. My Pet, what did I tell you at the break?
My Pet Holiday?
Is that it?
We'll look it up. Hate when you get that plug in and it's not there, isn't it, Steve? We'll find out what the website is you're talking about to keep your pets not so stressed over the holidays.
I should know that, shouldn't
we'll
I?
We'll mention that right before we go to news. Steve Dale, thank you so much for coming in tonight, buddy.
Thank you.
News is next, 720 WGN.